Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yo, what's up? It's your man Sean Weatherspoon, M-I-Z-Z-O-U, and you're listening to the Mazodcast. Now, you need a hobby, like golf or something. This show is terrible.
Gonna throw it. Slam. This bug's for you, Mizzou.
They are carving up this LSU defense.
You don't get no better than that, man.
Cook's going to throw the deep ball, and Burton passed the defense. Touchdown, Luther Burton, 47 yards.
Snap to place, kick is up. It is...
Yes! Now a walk-off winner from 61, Harrison Meadus.
This is the Mazodcast.
Howdy, Tiger fans. Welcome to the Mazodcast. I'm your host, Brendan Anthony. Joining me, as always, is my longtime brother, Colin Anthony.
What's up, dum-dums?
And we are recording this after Missouri's huge matchup, their Super Bowl, if you will, against the Georgia Bulldogs of Athens, Georgia. The Tigers fell short on this one, 30-21. This was a big one, Colin. No one would have expected Missouri to have won this at the beginning of the season, but I think we certainly had our hopes up.
It's a lost opportunity, unfortunately. You know, but Missouri played competitively, and I think, you know, the fourth quarter was disappointing. I think Georgia fans and everybody else in the SEC learned that, you know, it's not just another Missouri team.
Have you been eating sawdust, Colin?
No, I'm just coming off of a little bit of a sickness. Mm. I have full-blown AIDS.
Yeah.
And just dealing with that right now.
Sure. Well, that sounds kind of bad, but the worst thing was Missouri lost. Yeah. Honestly, if you look at the box score on how this one went and take out all of the emotion, it really comes down to just one bad third quarter. Missouri was tied at the half 10-10 and outscored them in the fourth quarter. As crazy as that seems, we said before the game started last week, Colin, we said to win a game like this, which seems nearly impossible, you have to do basically three things. You have to cut down on the penalties, cut down on the mistakes, and play four quarters of football. And really, I mean, as the Tigers played really well, but they didn't do any of those three things. And I guess a fourth thing, luck. And we didn't really get much luck. You know, we didn't win the turnover battle. We had a lot of penalties. We made some You know, Brady Cook's got a little bit of a history in these big games of throwing back-breaking interceptions.
Same thing. Brendan, I was talking to Twink Caleb today, and I said, nobody's going to want to hear this because Brady Cook's had such a good season, and he has earned the job, and he has proved the doubters wrong. But when we needed him most against LSU, he puked on his shoes. And when we needed him most against Georgia, he puked on his shoes. That interception to that defensive lineman was one of the worst interceptions I have ever seen. And mind you, I've seen Matty Mock throw interceptions.
Yeah.
So it looked like he just got caught between, like, I'm going to ground this thing because there's no play there. and I'm going to throw the pass. And it basically went somewhere in between, which happened in between happened to be in the gut of a defensive lineman 5 feet in front of him.
Yeah.
Just an unforgivable pass in this game. You can't do that in this game. Like you said, yeah. You can't have penalties in this game. This is not only do you have to produce on defense and offense, you have to be perfect with the little things, the details. You certainly can't have turnovers.
Yeah.
And for as well as Mizzou played, they just didn't. To win at home against the number two team in the nation, you've got to be, you got to play smarter than Mizzou did, quite frankly.
Yeah. No, and I mean, you talk about playing smarter. There was a lot of, you know, head scratching play calling. There was,
oh Lord, the end of the half.
Drinkwitz ball is, it can be frustrating, you know, and I mean, we're deep enough into the season and the team is good enough and we played well enough and the season has gone well enough that I want to curb my criticism of Drinkwitz because I was so harsh early on and just have been proven wrong. But he does things that are mind boggling and continues to make me feel like he is not the smartest coach in the SEC. And I mean, look, he's not calling the plays, so I guess it can't 100% fall on him. But some of the decisions, the third down running plays, that Colin,
then he goes ballistic.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to. Is that the crazy thing is he gets so mad at the official for keeping the clock rolling on a play that he called for Cody Schrader to run. You know, like it's a running play. The clock's running, and he's sitting on what, three timeouts? Like if the clock running is such a crucial part of the end of this half, use one of your fucking timeouts. It made no sense. The only sense anybody could make of it was somebody said, well, maybe he's trying to fire up the team by just fucking eating out the official's ass. Yeah. Because from a strategic standpoint, it didn't make any sense. You just ran a running play to Cody Schrader. He got lucky to even get close to out of bounds. So you can't be mad at the official that they said it was forward or progress or whatever. I agree with him. I think they should have stopped the clock, but they didn't. You know, if you're so interested in stopping the clock, use a timeout or throw the ball. You know what I mean? Those are your options. And so it was just, it's hard to be on Drink's side on that little exchange because it didn't make any fucking sense.
I continue to say that I think Blake Baker has got the defense playing well. I think Kirby Moore has certainly improved our offense. They still lack one coach. They need somebody that stands directly next to Drinkwitz and explains to him why this is the time to take timeouts or why this is the time to, you know, pass the ball. I mean, like, it is day one. Some of this is just day one shit that he just seems to not grasp in the heat of the moment.
And it all comes down to crucial time. Tolleson, our center, Colin, every single game just randomly snaps the ball to Brady Cook in a way that Brady Cook's not expecting. And we're so lucky this season that it hasn't been more catastrophic than it's been.
No doubt.
But why can't we fix this with him? Like, why is he so bad at his job? I think we're spiraling into bordering on Mizzou Blues. Which we shouldn't, because this was a good game. It was a good showing, and I think everybody outside of Missouri, I don't want to say moral victory because I don't believe in that garbage, but I will say that, like, we proved ourselves worthy of being on the field at Georgia, right? Like, that's Tennessee is not looking past us this week based on the play we had in Georgia.
We look like the number 14 team in the nation playing the number 2 team in the nation.
That's exactly frankly. What it looked like, yeah. And
we look like we deserve that ranking. I watched a lot of college football on Saturday. I didn't see a lot of teams that would give Mizzou a better game than Georgia did. Mizzou is as good as any team I watched play on Saturday, including Georgia. I mean, they're just really, that game was never out of reach. Even after the interceptions, you know, ended up being a 9-point deficit. You know, the second interception was backbreaking. You know, at that point you just know, okay, it's over. But Mizzou doesn't have to hang its head after this.
No.
It's disappointing, though. I mean, this was such an incredible opportunity that you're just not going to get very often. The deck's just not going to stack up this way every year, and it would have been great to win that football game. But, I mean, you talk about a win that would have been program-defining.
Oh, yeah.
And it's hard to get program-defining wins, you know, especially in Athens.
Yeah, and like I said, this would have made Drink's career as much as it would have the program's or the season. It would have been big, and that's why it hurts. But at the same time, what happened was always the most likely outcome. You know, this is nothing anybody should be surprised by how it went. But, you know, and when you play well and when the game is close, you stew on the missed opportunities, and they were there. There were great moments in this game, too. I mean, we led the first quarter, and we deserved to lead the first quarter. And I think when Luther Burden caught that touchdown pass in the first quarter, you could look in the stands in Georgia and see that the people are out there going like, fuck, we got a game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is...
Oh, Mizzou might actually be kind of good.
Yeah, this isn't going to be a cakewalk, you know? So, honestly, I'm looking forward to this weekend because I said last week, as much as I'd love for us to beat Georgia, I think that would be wonderful. What I really would like and what Drinkwitz can really do to win me back on the bandwagon is beat those motherfuckers from Tennessee who I hate so dearly, and this is our opportunity. And Tennessee's playing better ball now than they were at the beginning of the season, but I am not afraid of the Tennessee Volunteers this year. We have a team assembled that can beat those assholes, and I would love to see it. And we kind of need to, Colin, because we were talking about, you know, we're 7-1, opportunity for a special season. We're now 7-2. We've got Tennessee, we've got Florida, we've got Arkansas. And we got to win some of those games, you know, like we
need to win all those games.
Yeah, right.
We need like to win all those games.
And,
I mean,
and
you
they
don't
are
play
winnable
this game against Georgia. Yeah. You don't play this game against Georgia and lose to one of those teams. You know, we are, I think, the second best team in the SEC East right now. And we need to play like it. I think if you just look at these rosters and these teams, if these programs both bring A games, Mizzou should win against all three of these opponents.
That's right.
You know, but we've already talked about it, but the penalties, like, we have got to knock it off with the fucking penalties.
Like, it's not going to happen. We're just going to get over it. We're just an undisciplined team when it comes to fucking penalties. You know what I mean? Like, we do not have the coaching staff that can fucking nip this in the bud. They just are not capable of it, and they've proven it time and again. This is part of who we are. We're a good team, but we're a flawed team, and one of those flaws is unsolvable fucking penalties.
Yep, it's a mystery. It's a mystery to everyone. There's one thing I didn't want to forget either as we talk about this football game. Our special teams, not great. not great. That was one of those things that I think can get lost in the shuffle of a game like this. But, man, Georgia had some great field position.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that gets fixed, but that was really ugly.
Well, you talk about that, but the Marquise Johnson running it out of the end zone and then getting fucking blowed up like inside the 10 when he should have just knelt on the fucking ball and taken it at the 25.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the special teams just in general just
We just basically ceded an entire possession at that point. And this is the kind of things where it's just like you see it happen and you're like, okay, we can survive this. It's not a game breaker. But these are exactly the type of things you can't do in these type of games. And yet we did them. And, you know, we are the Missouri Tigers, Colin, and we are not Alabama. We are not the Georgia Bulldogs. And we want to aspire to be that someday. And we have these opportunities where we can climb up the ladder, but it's really hard to do, and we just didn't do it here. So in 10 years, maybe we'll get another shot at this, but we didn't take it this time around.
Well, like I said, Brendan, I think everybody's hoping for a permanent change of residence. I hope that we become Georgia's pain in the balls, you know, over the next decade. You know, is Georgia going to win the East? I don't know. Is this Missouri's year? You know, I hope we become a perennial thorn in their side. That would be great. And, you know, just from a recruiting standpoint, it looks like we might be able to do that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we lost out on a big recruit we didn't even talk about at all last week. You know, we had a big 5-star receiver.
Well, did you hear his dad after he signed?
Yeah.
He's basically like, you don't know what's going to happen. Like, you could obviously, this family is, I mean, like.
Playing the game.
You know, well, yeah, loyalty is not. I mean, like, listen, I'm not saying he's going to end up in Missouri. I don't think he will. But, you know, like, there is no loyalty there. Like, we made this decision today. We may make a different decision tomorrow. Our son is a human lottery ticket, and we intend to scratch him for everything he's worth, is all I heard for most of that interview with his family.
Yeah. Well, and certainly I have always been a proponent of NIL and players getting paid, and they're doing all the work and they ought to get some compensation for it. This is a business to them, and I understand that. But I root for the Missouri Tigers, and when a guy like Wingo decides to go to fucking Texas instead of the Missouri Tigers, I don't feel obligated to wish him well. You know, I don't wish him ill either. I just don't wish anything for or against him. He is not a part of my life. And so it's the same thing with Dominique Lovett, who scored the first touchdown for Georgia in this game. I don't necessarily wish ill on Dominique Lovett, but I don't fucking hope he does well either. Like, fuck him.
Fuck Dominique Lovett.
Fuck him. He's been he left and talked shit. So, like, he's young. I understand. Oh, don't talk shit about college kids. But they're making business decisions, and it's going against the team.
Money, so
yeah. If they're professionals, so fuck them. Fuck them where he lives.
Used to be, people would, use the age thing. I'm like, fuck it, you're 18. If you can, carry a rifle into war, you can take some heat from a local fan podcast. And now that they're making money, I have no qualms about telling anybody to shove it up their ass, especially somebody like Dominique Lovett.
And I also have had a longstanding policy is just not get too fucking worked up about what high schoolers do. You know, like he's going to be a great receiver. He would have been awesome to have on our team. It's not going to happen. So moving on, because there's nothing you can do about it. And if I got worked up every time a fucking high schooler made a bad decision, I'd spend my life pretty miserable. But anyway, it would be great to get those guys. Keeping guys like Luther Burden, keeping guys like Wingo are how you build a program up to be competitive with the Georgias year in and year out, because, God, they had five-star guys up and down their lineup. But, Colin, honestly, when I watched us play, I didn't feel like we were a team who was dominated by superior talent at any point. You know, I thought they were a really good football team going up against our really good football team. But I never felt like Missouri was so up against it that once the floor fell out on us, it was all going to be exposed and we were just going to get fucking blown out. No, I felt like we were given as good as we got.
If you just trade in Cook's two interceptions for punts, I don't know what this game looks like.
Yeah. Well, fuck, if you trade it for a field goal, we're in goddamn contention.
It's hard to get away from those passes. Those were both bad interceptions. And, certainly on the second one, he was trying to force things because, there was certainly a sense of urgency. But, unforgivable. And nobody, I'm sure nobody feels worse about it than Brady Cook.
Yeah.
But, feel bad as you want doesn't change anything. You better don't do it again. That's how you fix the problem. Sorry's all well and good. It's like, but apologies fall hollow when you keep doing the same mistake over and over again. So no more Brady Tough Heart.
Yeah, that's right.
And Heart's plenty tough. No more awful back-breaking interceptions at the end of games. We've done that, and now we're going to be done with doing that.
Well, and that takes us forward where we played so great against Georgia. We have a great record. But people are like, oh, we've turned a corner. We haven't yet. There's a lot of business to do. Like we were saying, you got to win the games in front of you, because ultimately, if we stopped here, if we lost out, it could happen. We could lose out. It's not many games left. And if we did, Drinkwitz is a guy who's had 6 win seasons every year that he's been here. And if we don't continue some of our success before this season ends, we got 7 wins now. That's one game better than he's been.
Well, let's not get that pessimistic.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that it's not going to happen. I'm just saying that there's work yet to do. Like, don't rest on your laurels now because we played well and that we took Georgia to the mats. I'm saying beat the fuck out of Tennessee, beat the fuck out of Florida, and by God, beat the fuck out of Arkansas. That's what I'm hoping, and that's what I think this team is capable of. But don't rest on your laurels now, because there's a lot of work left to be done before we've actually turned the corner in this season. You know what I mean? Like, we've gone a long way, but it is not done yet.
Part of the reason I don't feel like I have as many concerns about us not finishing the season is just because this is a better football team than we've had in a while. And despite Cook's back-breaking interceptions at the end of this game, he moved the ball. The offense looked good for most of the game. We were able to move the ball against Georgia, and Georgia's as good a defense as we're going to see all year. I feel like our offense is going to be able to move the ball against all 3 of the opponents that are coming up. I feel like our defense gets better every game. Like, they are really coming to their own. The more Blake Baker brings pressure, the better this defense seems to play. I really feel like we could be a handful for some of these for all three of the teams, honestly, we're going to play. If both teams in all three of these last matchups bring their A game, Mizzou wins all three of them. Because Mizzou's A game right now, I think, will dominate any of the three of these players. I mean, dominate's a strong word, but part of the reason I say that is because I think Mizzou has been a really good football team, but I still don't think we've seen their A game.
That's right. We didn't get four quarters out of them this weekend.
No, we still have not got a four-quarter whistle-to-whistle game. And, you know, if they ever put one together and don't have a bunch of penalties, I just wonder how good they could be.
Three games left on the schedule. Tennessee, I think, is by far the most difficult challenge. They're number 13 in the country right now. Another 2:30 CBS start time. I don't know when the last time Missouri's had the main afternoon CBS SEC matchup 2 weeks back to back. I don't know ever. I mean, I don't know if in 13 and 14 if we had that. But we got it against Tennessee. It's a home game for us. Tennessee's good.
Yeah.
Tennessee's gotten better.
Vegas certainly likes them.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I mean, it's not like the Georgia line where we were 15.5, 16-point underdogs, though. We're like a point and a half off of Tennessee. People think this is going to be a competitive football game, and I have every reason to think it will be as well. Tennessee is 7-2, 3-2 in conference, exactly like we are. This is the moment where we find out who's the big dog. You know, this is basically fighting for the second place in the East after Georgia spanked our little bottom.
I think Vegas's line is based on the fact that since Heupel has gone to Tennessee, he has had Mizzou's number.
Yeah. And that's a motivation in my mind for this Tiger team, is that they have looked very bad against this Tennessee team since Drinkwitz has been here, and it's time for payback. And this is a year maybe we can do it. It would be a statement victory. It really would. It's a top 13 team in the country. We've had our opportunity against LSU. We didn't jump on it. We had our opportunity against Georgia. We didn't jump on it. This is another big opportunity. We got to jump on it. How many of these are we going to get before we're just only losing two good teams, you know, and that's not.
I don't know. I just hope it's worth it for Heupel, because it's pretty obvious this job is killing him. Have you seen that guy? Like every time I see him, he's aged 10 years. His face has completely retreated into his neck.
Yeah.
His hair is falling out, and I'm starting to think he colors it, Brennan, because a very few short years ago he was here and his hair was dark, and now it's taken on the sort of orange light color of a Les Miles. I color my hair because I'm losing it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, or maybe it's just because it's lightning, because he's graying. But I mean, Tennessee is killing him.
Yeah. It would kill anyone. I mean, it's a terrible place and terrible people everywhere and a terrible program. But yeah, he does look bad. And it is a strange hair color that the weird thing to me, Colin, is that billionaires do this, you know, like very wealthy men. And I'm not even talking about the Los Angeles Raiders owner, because he's just got a special kind of haircut that nobody, Mark Davis, right? That's just bizarre on another level. But that sort of orangish brown hue that is, you look at every other part of their body and like, you should have gray hair, man. And this is not a color that appears in nature. Like, just, you're a man. You can get away with brown, gray hair. What are you doing with this orange color?
Yeah, make your hair brown or leave it white. But this sort of like home dye job they get, it doesn't matter how much money these guys make. They're like, I don't know who's doing it. It's an important topic for this show to cover, I believe.
Well, I think the pictures on the Just For Men box are just so convincing. You know, when they're at the grocery store and they're like, that could be me. That handsome man with the dark black beard who looks like Riker from Star Trek.
Oh, man.
The Next Generation. Yeah. It's all right, 'cause I'm saved by the bell. That makes me want to buy that box of Just For Men, and it just never turns out like the picture. But yeah, so speaking of, you know, killing Heupel, I hope that we do it. And Heupel's been a piece of shit, and Tennessee's a piece of shit. And to me, in a weird way, this game is almost more a win against Tennessee would be more satisfying than a win against Georgia, in a way. I know it would have been program-altering to beat Georgia, but there's a level of retribution in beating Tennessee, a horrible Tennessee. So anyway, here's hoping. On that note, I'm curious what our listeners had to say about this week's game, Colin, positive, negative, otherwise, but we'll find out after the break. This is the Mazzotcast.
I've seen rocky mountains and great lakes. I've stood beneath a redwood tree. But wherever I go, my heart aches for a place called Tennessee. Oh, come with me, where the whiskey flows like wine and the meth labs are divine. The sweet tobacco grows, and it's picked by poor Negroes in Tennessee. Well, it's a place where dueling banjos play, and the mountain folk run free. Where all the children can spell KKK, but cannot spell Tennessee. Oh, come with me, where every cheek is filled with chew, and no one's ever seen a Jew. Oh, where the hot dogs are deep fried, that's the reason Elvis died in Tennessee. Shout that if you can, you best get out. Oh, I wanna be, but hospitality's the thing. Just ask Martin Luther King, shot in Tennessee. Place of Aretha, Queen of Soul, of B.B. King and Al Gore. Well, I'm not saying it's a shithole, but they don't live there anymore. And all the dentists just gave up. Oh, come with me in my flatbed pickup truck. It's where the classy ladies fuck in Tennessee.
Hey guys, Mazzotcast is now on Patreon. For as little as $3 a month, you can join our Patreon page and get extra content from the guys, outtakes from the show, and any insider news that we have, we provide it there first. It doesn't cost much and your support helps the show. Join the Mazzotcast Patreon and be part of the team. Here are our secrets.
Thank you. there's an old boy down in Tennessee, big dreams between his ears. Gonna watch his boys play ball today over 17, 18 beers. Got an ashtray full of GPCs, got stained up fingertips. But fellas like old Jimmy here is the best they got to give. It's a great butt hug of Dixieland. Same damn song by the same old band. Half-wit checkered overalls. Tennessee can lick my balls. Well, the boys just got the brains kicked in that gum, that forward pass. So we found some kid on a message board gonna threaten to whoop his kid ass. But it's all downhill from Jimmy here, that short-term memory loss. By Monday, he's the most trouble-free fella that you run across. It's a great butt plug of Dixieland. Same damn song by the same old band. Thick can't swig in melon balls. Tennessee can lick my balls. There's a tooth in his head for every win they're gonna get on Saturday. There's a whisker on his chin for every poor star kid that they're gonna have to pay. It's a great butt plug of Dixieland. Same damn song by the same old band. Burned out muffler mating calls. Tennessee can lick my balls. City of Knoxville, lick my balls. Dollar tablecloth looking in zone, lick my balls. Smokey the Blue Tick Hound, lick my balls. Tennessee can lick my balls.
And we are back, and as promised, we are going to get into the old Mazodcast mailbag now.
Here's the mail, it never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
What's up, guys? Carolina Jackpot. It's about 8:15 a.m. out here on the East Coast. Just wanted to let you know you've got my full support and attention this afternoon at 3:30. Time that we see somebody else take over the fucking SEC East. And in its final year, who better than the Mizzou Tigers? Listen, a couple of weeks ago, got a little bit unhinged. Sorry, alcohol is not a good thing to mix with the fact that you are witnessing the team that you love and pull for and put your heart and soul into turn into 22 stale, disgusting chicken nuggets dipped in a bubbling pot of fondue taint cheese.
Taint cheese.
But hey, it is what it is, and as soon as our game against Buttfuck State is over today at 3:30, I'm going to be live streaming that game over on YouTube. Got my full support. And Brennan, I'm looking forward to your book when it comes out, buddy, and hopefully I can find someone to read it to me. M-I-Z-Z-O, me and you.
We'll put out an audio book for you, Jackpot.
Well, it's 3rd and 10. You know what that means? Run it up the fucking gun! What the fuck, Drake? Jesus Christ!
Yep. The third and ten runs were sort of head scratching.
Disconcerting as the disconcerting signal call.
I'd say disconcerting.
This is being a Missouri fan. I'm excited. I'm scared. We're up 10-10. I should just be excited. But I'm like, nope, we're going to hot dog water down both pants in the second half because we're Missouri.
Hot dog water.
God,
that's some Mizzou blues.
Yeah, it's Mizzou blues early.
We are a good football team.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Brennan and I, at the lead up to this game, I just listening to fans reminded me that the grief that some of us that we were taking on Twitter from like some Georgia talking heads and everybody's response being just I am Brett Sarver.
Yeah,
I just couldn't love that more. Like we have talked about before, you know, Mizzou having an alternate mascot. I.e. Oliver Sadwell.
Right.
And I'm not sure Oliver Sadwell is right for the times right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oliver Sadwell, the basketball team looks like it's going to be good. The football team's playing well. rather than War Eagle, maybe our alternative is just Brett Sarver.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. He's sort of a.
I saw kids like took a picture with him at a basketball game. Like, I want him to become like a Pokemon that students try to find at games to take pictures with.
Yeah, you got to catch them all. Yeah, no, I'm totally okay with a serial killer who needs braces being our alternate mascot.
Yeah, I agree.
JD here, boys. 10-10. We're going to have to run the fucking ball, man, or run the ball better, and we're going to have to do something on third down. Fuck, man. We're hanging in there. Hopefully we don't get our assholes pounded here in the second half. Fuck it. I'm about half a bottle in of Don Julio, and I'm feeling good. Team's looking decent. We got to keep it up, man. We got to keep it up. I'm not going to lie to you. I shit my pants. Literally shit my pants. I was trying to let a fart out, and fuck it, my age, guys. I mean, you can't trust a fart over 40. And hell, I'm old, so I farted, and I shit a little bit in my pants when Luther Burden went down. And fuck, man, I'm glad he's okay and walking around and shit. So anyway, so let's go, man. Fuck them. Fuck Georgia. Fuck them all. And it's fucking Mizzou. It's us against the world. Here we go. Let's fucking go, M-I-Z.
Yeah. Pants pooping play-by-play. That's why people tune in.
Yeah, and JD, you picked a bad week to just jump on the bandwagon going up against Georgia. This was a tough one. But this is, I think, the second call we've had this year where somebody shit their pants mid-game. And that's what being a Tiger fan will do to you.
Hi, I'm calling from LP's Chat Palace in Chicago, the Mizzou Bar, Chicago.
Ooh, it's a lady.
And I just want to say there's like maybe 500 people here. It's such a vibe. We're cheering really loud. And that pass interference was not a pass interference. And that's why I'm calling into the podcast. It's a lady. Okay, bye.
Ooh, it's a lady.
It sure is.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of belly aching about the officiating, and with good reason. The officiating was not good, but it was bad going both directions, I think. You know, Mizzou definitely got screwed, but we got the benefit of the doubt on some calls as well.
I'll tell you what, Colin, I don't know, and I'm sure there may be good reason for it. Somebody could explain it to me, I guess, but I have never in my life seen a pass interference call overturned via replay. Never.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was a thing that could happen.
I didn't either. I mean, that felt like home cooking to me in the heat of the moment, because I'm like, what the fuck is this? You call pass interference, stick to it. What the fuck did Kirby Smart just say to you and threaten your mom about?
Hey, this is Steven. All right, this is Stiffy in Houston. I don't even know what the fuck is going on. Can you review offensive pass interference?
Yeah.
And by the way, the play before was not defensive pass interference. This is bullshit. We should sign their names. We shouldn't do anything that bad, but we should scold them, the refs, online, because this is a load of crap. And I'm in Houston, and I know.
No,
a lot of
I
crap
know what
down
he wants
here
to say.
Yeah, he pulled himself back right from the brink.
Yeah, he was right the first time. We should burn their houses down.
Yeah, we should dox them and burn their houses down. Then he's like, "Oh, I probably shouldn't say that."
But we agree with you completely. And we encourage you to burn down their homes.
That's right. Yeah, that's the direction you wanted to take it. Just own it.
Hey, fellas. Sean Kansas City. About 9 minutes left in the fourth here. I know this isn't your usual call. Anyone know how to – I'm having a gender reveal party. I want to make a really, really big bang for that. If anyone could send me some recipes to make a very large bang. On an unrelated note, anyone have any of these official addresses? Totally unrelated, by the way. Definitely not to do with anything going on in the game. Just, you know, if you have those addresses and the recipe to make something that goes bang, just, you know, send that my way. M-I-Z.
Our second call in a row. This guy not backing away from the suggested murder of ref officials.
Yes, the domestic terrorism route is another way to be a fan.
Hey, Zebra Ref Guy. We got to review that makeup call there on that offensive pass interference. Yeah, we really need Georgia to win this game because, you know, SEC, Mizzou doesn't belong. Fucking heart garbage.
Garbage.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to start. I hate to say that they're trying to give Georgia the game because it's the SEC and they want Georgia to stay on top, but sometimes it'd be looking like that. We playing okay. Because it's right now it's 21-27, and if we score this touchdown, our defense got to do what we need to do. But I'm not upset about the game. I just wish everything wasn't so hard for us and so easy for them. It feels like it takes us. We have to fight and claw for every yard, and then Georgia come down the field and get 40. That could be just a difference of players, but I need them to win this game so I can go on Locked On Bulldogs YouTube page and give them a piece of my mind. So MIZ, let's go.
I understand.
Anybody ever seen a pass interference reviewed and overturned? These fucking refs are hobo cum.
Hobo cum.
You've seen it now.
That's right.
These refs are freaking hot dog water.
Hot dog water.
They sure are, little buddy.
That's true.
Now, Colin Brendan, I'm sitting here in Fulton, Missouri watching this game, and I just got to tell you, when the fuck can we just change the fucking rules? I mean, we've been through this before. We've sat here. The NFL did this bullshit. Okay, we can review the pass interference. Horseshit! They turned it over. You can't do it anymore. This is bullshit. If you're going to review that one, you can't review the fucking Carson Beck throwing it 30 yards into the back of the end zone. This is just a load of horseshit. And, what are we supposed to do? We got the SEC officials riding our ass. We can't do anything. Drinkwitz is playing with his balls in his purse. Fuck this shit. I'm done. Fuck it. MIZZOU.
Ah, horse pussy.
He's angry.
Clarity to 21 here. Looking like we're probably going to lose this thing. Hate that for Brady. He's had such a great year because he's going to catch a lot of shit over that throw, which he should. But, hey.
Well, there's one thing we know about Brady. He's got a tough heart, and he can take it.
That's right.
7-2. Nobody thought we'd be here. And we just hung with the number one team in the nation at their house. I guess it ain't all bad.
Yeah, that's a real glass half full way to look at it. I don't appreciate it, but I it's a glass half full.
Yeah, no, it's got perspective that we often lack.
Just thought I'd call back in real quick, and I feel like I should mention this fucking crew sucks, like for real. There's been several what I thought were like late hit calls out of bounds, the pass interference, the review of the pass interference, which I don't fucking understand. Absolute horseshit officiating, but what do you expect to play the number one team on the road?
I thought when he said this was the worst crew ever, I thought he might be talking about the guys in the booth.
They weren't great either. Oh my
God. I can't believe this is the level of there are like 6 billion people on the planet. I refuse to believe that the 3 people they have calling this game are the best you could come up with out of 6 billion people.
And the thing is, this isn't exactly the 11 a.m. Yeah. game on SEC alternate channel. This is the CBS midday SEC main show announcing team.
I guess we should expect this because CBS has still got Rick Neuheisel on their entry show. Like, Rick Neuheisel played guitar and sung a song he wrote about college football on national television. And it made me as angry as anything I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Ever. I can't think of a single thing that makes me madder than that. And I just thought whoever produces this show should be fired. Rick Neuheisel should be executed, frankly. And anyway, it doesn't surprise me coming from this CBS Sports. It's just, I don't understand it. I don't understand how this is somebody's evaluating talent says, this is what we want. This is the A-team. If the A-team was made up of a bunch of geriatric old women, then yes, this would be the A-team.
Man, I love Brady Cook, but that interception.
That was trash.
Like Oliver Sadwell grew up to be our quarterback.
Yeah, that was the backbreaker. And in a game like that, there's going to be a backbreaker. That was it.
He could have at least thrown it to a linebacker. I mean, just throw a fucking interception to an offensive lineman.
Yeah. It was one of those plays where it's like, you want to win. You want to play well. What you really don't want is to be embarrassed and do embarrassing things that bad teams do. And that was one of those things. That was like, Vanderbilt does something like that every game against every opponent. And you just don't want to have those kind of plays.
No, you're right. That's exactly why it was so devastating. It's because it's like that is so ugly that is beneath this football team. Yeah. Like, it's not like we're not allowed to make mistakes, but that is, I mean, fucking just hot dog water puking on your shoes.
Hot dog water.
At the biggest point of the season, LSU and Georgia, we need Brady Cook to step up. We need your interception in both games. I've been the biggest Brady defender this whole time, and he's just not elite. He's not that guy. I'm like,
you can be a fan of Brady Cook and recognize that he's not elite. I mean, he's never been elite. He's had a couple of games where he threw over 300 yards passing, and he's looked really good, and he's done everything we've hoped that he could do, but he's not an elite quarterback, and certainly
well, and listen, I don't think anybody is calling for his job.
No.
Or should be. I mean, he has been, even in that game up into the fourth quarter, he looked like he knew what he was doing, and then it all came apart. But I certainly am no longer under the belief that somehow Sam Horn is going to improve this team.
No.
Hope's a dangerous thing. Very dangerous. They, you know what? They got me. They got me. I was down on Brady Cook in the beginning of the season, got cautiously optimistic, started playing well, I converted, and now this nonsense. Not the best quarter for Brady Cook. Should not have let him cook. I'm down on Cook Coin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cook cooking this game, letting him cook this game was him making a hot pocket inside of a dryer.
That's right.
Hey, this is Darnell in Athens. I just want to say that was a hard-fought game. People really need to take Mizzou seriously. And Mike Griffith is a bozo. He doesn't represent us here in Athens.
I appreciate it, Darnell.
Certified bozo.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, guys.
Ooh, it's a lady.
Hope is a dangerous thing, isn't it? You know, Brady Cook was having a good year. I was never into Cook Coin and all that crap, the hot garbage.
Hot garbage.
But, you know, he was doing pretty good. He was running, you know, he was stopping doing those stupid bubble screens for a while, and then he started throwing these incredible throws, and Burton was catching it. And the problem was that we all had hope. You know, we had hope. We had hope, and hope is a dangerous thing. And that fourth quarter was hot dog water.
Hot dog water.
Hobo cum.
Hobo cum.
Hot garbage.
Hot garbage.
And the fix was in with some of those ref calls. I mean, I can't even. But having two interceptions taken by Georgia, like seriously, fucking bullshit. Anyway, M-I-Z.
You can tell we've reached the point in the game where everybody's had to watch the back-breaking interceptions.
Yeah. Yeah. It's everybody's hearts have been broken.
Okay, it's me again. I am not done, because how do you have a quarterback for Georgia that has only had 6 sacks all season, sack him 2 times that I can remember, and then still lose the game? I mean, all the elements were there. It's just fucking bullshit. This is fucking bullshit. Hot garbage.
Hot garbage.
Because they could have won this game. They really could have. But they just, Missouri had to Missouri. And they just, you know, hobo-cummed all over the damn fourth quarter.
Hobo-cum.
And we lost to a quarterback that he looked like the damn Sloth from Ice Age. Are you freaking kidding me? Hot garbage.
Hot garbage.
M-I-Z.
Yeah, Carson Beck does look like the Sloth from Ice Age. That is true. And
yep.
It should be said, Colin, that we did get to him a lot. The defense really played well. Chad Bailey was out, and that when I found that out, I was like, fuck. And then we find out today that he's out for the year. But anyway, the defense was not the issue for the most part in this game. And
it's amazing to me that we got those sacks for him. I mean, their quarterback has eyes on the sides of his head like a deer. How do you manage to get to him? You know, he sees you coming.
Oh, yeah. He's got at least 270 degrees of perspective. That another
field of vision is huge.
Yeah. You know, the ear holes for most football players in their helmet, those are actually his eye holes.
Yep. That's how he looks around the field. Yeah, he looks like, you know, play that save by the bell drop. He looked a little bit like Mr. Furley.
It's all right, because I'm saved by the bell.
Don Knotts, if you're not familiar. I suggest you watch the Apple Dumpling Gang if you're not. Anyway, yeah, I saw him and I was like, that is a young Don Knotts. If you put a you know, like a 1970s, you know, sort of flowered scarf around his neck with an open collared shirt, I would have been like, hey man, we're watching Three's Company.
Yeah.
Let's head down to the Regal Beagle.
That's some references. Yeah.
I don't want to shit on Brady because we won games this year because of him, but our two losses this year, four interceptions, not going to get it done. Got to play better. Got to play better. And it sucks because we absolutely can beat Georgia with this squad. But on to the next one, a lot of big games left. Guess I'm going to go back to my Arkansas squirrel dumplings and deer meat. Hot garbage.
Hot garbage.
Enjoy.
Sean, Kansas City. That fucking sucks. Can't have those picks. He's Brady's still our guy. Don't fucking get too hard on him, boys. I know you're gonna, and it's funny, but like, it's, yeah, those picks fucking suck. The first one, that, Jesus, fuck Christ. Like, we could have won the game right there, but yeah, that one fucking sucks. Almost had a fat guy touchdown, fucking lard ass piece of shit. we lost the game, but officials sure didn't fucking help. Like, if you didn't catch on earlier, I'm gonna mail them a fucking bomb. MIV.
Got a lot of domestic terrorists in our phone calls tonight, Brendan. I don't know. I'm a disturbing trend.
I like how he called in earlier and he's like, I'm just going to hint at the fact that I'm going to bomb the officials. And then he thought later on, I was like, you know what? I better just say it, flat out say it.
Yeah. I'm going to just explicitly tell everyone I'm going to you know, commit domestic terror.
I'm afraid I was too subtle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand the goddamn fucking dumpster fire play calling in that fucking game. Brady Cook at the end throws a random fucking interception. It seems like every time there's a pressure cooker game, that motherfucker is going to throw it to the goddamn other team. I just don't understand. What the, does it just get to him, or what the fuck's his problem? Fuck my life.
This is Dangling Dave. Brady Cook, get your emo's greasy Prevail cheese ass hands throwing the ball to the fat lineman. Oh, God damn it.
He does love emo's.
I've had some time to calm down and really think about things. And, yeah, it's a bummer. Fucking Mizzou Blues.
Oh,
Brady Cook's interception late. Hobo cum, hot garbage.
Hobo cum. Hot garbage.
But I'm sick and fucking tired of these pessimistic-ass fans that fucking shit all over Brady Cook. Yeah, he fucked around and fucked it up at the end. But I just don't understand why people can't be fucking happy. Like, he's literally the only, well, not literally the only reason, but big part of why they're going to probably go 10-2 this year after shitting the bed and constant Mizzou Blues over the last 10 years. And he's going to be back next year with fucking the same receiving core. They're going to be fine. Dude, Brady Cook, fucking kick ass. Brady Toughheart, you pissed me off today, but I'm still fucking rooting for you, dude. Same thing with all the other motherfuckers out there.
Mixed emotions about Brady Cook out there, it sounds like, today.
Well, and like I said, I'm not ready to write Brady off yet. And we've had two big games, and he has, yes, he has wet the bed in both those games at the end. I'm not ready to say that defines Brady Cook yet. Now, if he does it a third time, then I'll be like, all right, maybe we've got an actual issue here.
Yeah, this is a trend.
Yeah, but I'm willing to give him a pass, mostly because just like look at the first throw that he made to Luther Burden. I mean, yeah. There were a lot of throws in this game that were really good throws. It's easy to forget some of the – and he had some big runs in this game. Like he did some pretty impressive things, and it's easy to forget that. When your last memory of him is throwing a interception to a guy who's 5 feet in front of him, the size of a fucking barn.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of,
I know,
like,
that's hard to forget, but we need to, you know, look at things on the whole and have some perspective.
It's kind of like a gal gives you one of the best blowjobs you've ever had in your life. And right at the end, she takes a thumbtack and just pokes it through your scrotum. You know, it's like,
God.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of what that interception felt like for me a little bit.
Sure,
but it's
sure.
Like,
I mean, I guess that makes a lot of sense when you put it that way.
You know, it's like it's hard to remember the great blowjob when you got that thumbtack sticking through your ball bag.
Yeah. No, you know, Brendan, my apologies. You're making perfect sense.
Okay, thank you.
What's up, dudes? First time listener, long time caller.
that game just made me sad. Like, I'm not going to overreact and say, like, we suck and the season's over, but holy shit, that game made me fucking sad.
It's Mizzou Blues. It's hard to get over. It creeps in all the time.
Mm-hmm. What's up, dudes? You know, still sad, but, you know, I had a couple more beers and I thought about it. You know, good teams win, but great teams cover. We covered that 16-ish point
we
spread.
Did. True enough.
Can't be mad about that. It's fine. It's fine. We're fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
I'll shout out Fart Guy. Really love the content he puts out there. That's a man that's not afraid to shit his pants, and I really respect that.
Yeah, well, shout out to JD. He shit his pants this week, too. So join the crowd, Fart Guy.
Yeah, respect all around.
I think it's so cool that the two games that we've lost this season are because the guy who had a record earlier this season for not throwing interceptions has thrown two real bad interceptions at the worst time. Yeah.
Oh, sweet irony.
It's bad.
Oh, sweet irony.
We did better than I thought we'd do. We beat the spread. I think we scared Georgia a little bit. A win would be better than a loss, but it's not the end of the season. M-I-Z, I guess.
Yeah. A win is better than a loss. That is correct, and that's great analysis.
That is, yeah. You know what, Brendan? It's a hard. We've had a hard time sort of locking down a third host on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Between Bear and Twink Caleb.
Sure.
But maybe with analysis like a win is better than a loss,
we
this gentleman might be the final ingredient.
That's right. That's right. It's gonna make the stew taste perfect.
We were a shitty PI call in the third quarter, away from keeping some momentum going. You watch two teams play on the field today, and they were way more even than that final score says, or than Aaron Taylor's dumbass will say. It does seem like the refs kind of fuck us a little bit. It won't matter at all. Moving on, if we shit the bed against Tennessee, we have to keep the hobo cum on their side and not let it come to ours.
Hobo cum.
I just love to imagine like a Tennessee fan or a Georgia fan just listening to this podcast out of curiosity. Like, I wonder what Mizzou's saying about this game. And just can't figure out why people keep saying hobo cum.
They've not watched enough Missouri football if they don't understand hobo cum.
No, that's right.
Hobo cum.
Or taint cheese.
Taint cheese.
Spark guy here.
Hi, there
I'm
he is.
Lion sack of shit in more ways than one. I sharted, but only after the game, so not sure if that counts. But I also said that they win, right, too. So I definitely screwed up. But just a quick breakdown. First half, thought things were sexier than ever and steam out. But they came out in the second half with the dookie butter being cooked in the crock pot with a butt burrito and weren't able to put the bone in the wing to make that Luther Burden sing. Fart guy out.
Wow. Oh, man.
If there was an Academy Award for podcasts, I don't see how this show doesn't get it. Where else are you going to get this kind of content?
All right, Colin, on that note, why don't we take a broader look around the SEC and see what the rest of our opponents are up to? It's time to go around the horn with the SEC.
We break our bread at Waffle House. Our teams are pretty good. We even play some basketball when Jesus says we should. So pour a little bourbon and repeat right after me. We built a church for Saturdays and called it SEC.
Jesus loves football.
And Colin, would you fire up the fine bot for us?
Will do.
Alabama, Nick Saban.
Thanks for joining us, Paul.
Thank you, Mizzou Cast Podcast.
All right, Colin, why don't we just jump right in with Ole Miss taking on Texas A&M. This was a big matchup for number 10 Ole Miss. They had something to prove against a okay Texas A&M team. It was a close one. 38-35 was the final, but Ole Miss got the job done. Fended off a late fourth quarter rush by the Aggies from A&M. Ole Miss now sits at 8-1, 5-1 in conference, still in contention for the SEC West. And like I said, number 10 in the country. So Lane Kiffin is he's got that one loss to Alabama, beat LSU, and just a few games left on the schedule. So who knows what this Ole Miss team is capable of.
Yeah, they proved me wrong. I'm, like I said, have not been a believer in this Ole Miss program. But they
keep winning.
When they got their opportunity, they took advantage of it.
Tennessee, Missouri's opponent next week, they had sort of their mid-season cupcake game against UConn, and they put it to the UConn Huskies 59-3 at home. Tennessee moves to 7-2, 5-0 in conference play so far. Yeah, I mean, this game doesn't tell us anything other than Tennessee can bully lesser teams. We'll see what they do when they're up against a real team this weekend. Florida took on Arkansas. I watched a lot of this game, Colin. I presume you might have as well. Arkansas desperate for a win. Sam Pittman's seat is hotter than the skin underneath his titties in the Florida sun. The Gators looked like they were going to be able to pull away from this one, but they were never able to get the job done. Arkansas wins it in overtime, 39-36. Huge conference win. In fact, the first conference win for the Razorbacks this year. They're 1-5 in conference, and now 3-6 overall. Florida falls to 5-4, 3-3 in conference. Two teams Missouri has yet to play, and you have every reason to believe that they are both winnable games based on what we saw this week.
Not sure about that.
The Arkansas-Florida game was a matchup of the completely movable object versus the
wildly stoppable force.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was not a great one. South Carolina hosted Jacksonville State in a game that was supposed to have been a midseason cupcake. I think Jacksonville State is also known as the Gamecock, so it was Gamecock versus Gamecock crime. South Carolina could not put away Jacksonville State until the fourth quarter. They ended up winning this one 38-28, but I am sure that it was way too close going into the fourth quarter, tied with this team. South Carolina is bad. They're now 3-6, 3-1 in conference, and goddamn, they had trouble with Jacksonville State, and that is that's a tough thing to say. I'm glad Carolina Jackpot called early, because I don't think he would have been in a good state of mind after this game.
I think South Carolina, for Mizzou fans who may be down about this loss, is a good cautionary tale, or just like, hey, things could be worse, because you're looking at South Carolina, a program that, I don't know, didn't have big expectations this season, but certainly hope to be competitive, and things have completely come off the rails. Beamer is becoming Dan Mullen-esque in his behavior. You know, the team is just a colossal turd burger. We've been there, and it's easy to forget, but you just imagine being South Carolina right now. Yeah, we lost to Georgia, but man, you could be South Carolina right now.
Yeah, it's a scary thought. You know, Colin, Beamer takes a lot of shit for blaming his players in those post-game press conferences. And I've kind of stewed on that for a little bit, because coaches for years have always, complained about things that their players have done, and they're not always wrong for doing so. Because I saw somebody pull up old Steve Spurrier quotes from a post-game press conference where he was basically dogging his players for playing like shit. And everybody loves Steve Spurrier, and I was just thinking, it's not that Beamer is blaming his players or that he's always deflecting criticism. I feel like it's his demeanor, and he's just got this punchable face quality to him. You know what I mean? He's just got this way about the way he expresses these thoughts make it just seem more despicable than if someone else was saying it. I don't know. He's got a vibe. That is,
yeah, he's got some douche DNA.
Yeah, he does. He's got heavy douche DNA, and I think it puts the thumb on your scale whenever you say something a little. It could go either way. People are going to take it wrong because you're a douche, and he's definitely a douche. Let's see. Speaking of douches, let's go to the Auburn Vanderbilt game. This was a stinker. Auburn got the win, 31-15. Vanderbilt is fucking terrible. Vanderbilt's, that's a broken record, but they're as bad as they've ever been. They're now 0-8 in conference, 2-8 overall. Auburn got themselves a conference win. They're now 2-4 in conference and 5-4 overall. Just a fucking turd of a game for two fucking
well, and you
turd
know what?
Teams. Yeah.
They got no excuse either, because look at fucking the Kansas Jayhawks were the worst program in Division I college football for a very long time. And now they're competitive. Like, why can't Vanderbilt do that just once in a while? When was the last time they were even mildly competitive? James Franklin?
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean? Like, at some point, you're just like, guys, there's no excuse at this point. You know, if Kansas, the Kansas Jayhawks, can rebuild a program to something that seems respectable, what is your excuse?
I mean, obviously, there's not a lot of it's an academic institution that is highly regarded, and athletics is not as high on the food chain at that university.
Also in Nashville, though, which, who doesn't want to live in Nashville? I mean, yeah. I mean, compared to Lawrence, Kansas, I mean, I would rather go to. I mean, it's like, would you rather, you know, get a blowjob from an attractive woman or have someone wrap barbed wire around a fucking broken mop handle and jam it up your ass? That's the difference between living in Nashville and Lawrence. I can't believe we can't get to a point where Nash or, you know, Vanderbilt can't figure out a way to get a decent football team.
Well, and that's what I was alluding to, Colin. I don't think that the University of Kansas is dumping gobs and gobs of new money into their football program all of a sudden, and yet they're still managing to make it work. And as you mentioned, you know, their Chamber of Commerce Board of Tourism poster says, "Do you love mop handles with barbed wire wrapped around it shoved up your asshole? You'll love Lawrence." And so, which I've always thought was a bad tagline for a city.
Yeah, it's a cliche for a reason.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, Vanderbilt's fucking terrible. They continue to be terrible, and they're as bad as they've ever been. All right, then that takes us to Kentucky versus Mississippi State. Mississippi State is fucking bad. I kind of wish we could play Mississippi State this year, because the 2 years that we have drawn Mississippi State as our cross-division opponent have just been like two of the best years in Mississippi State's history, and they think they're way better than us. But Mississippi State is a fucking dog. And Mike Leach gone. They are flailing badly. And Kentucky whooped them 24-3. Kentucky needed a get right game. They got it. They're now 6-3. And got a nice road win against a very shitty opponent that was still better than Arkansas. And that takes us to the final game on the docket for the SEC. LSU came in number 14 in the country against Alabama, number 8, and this was a big one. This was the CBS evening game, the one everyone was talking about, and I think LSU fans were probably licking their chops this year because Alabama's been up and down, and LSU certainly can score, and Jaden Daniels is a hell of a quarterback, but LSU continues to have a horrible fucking defense. Alabama put 42 up. Wins the game 42-28. Alabama goes to 8-1 and 6-0 in conference. LSU 6-3. This is Alabama's division to lose. They've got the head-to-head win over Ole Miss. So Alabama seems to be getting right. And certainly, as opposed to what we've done in our big games, Alabama kind of flails around, and then the big games come, and then they show up.
You're right about that.
And that's just kind of what you expect out of an Alabama team. But anyway, this one, I don't know. I know Twink Caleb had big money on Alabama. I will say that it was a back-and-forth game. There was a lot of points in it where you thought LSU was going to overtake them, but it just, no. Like everything Alabama, they're just a boa constrictor, and you can flail and you can fight, but at the end of the day, they're going to suck every ounce of breath out of your system, and by the fourth quarter, you're dead.
Nick Saban.
Yeah, and LSU, I don't know, they didn't impress me in this game, and I kind of feel like I do with Missouri. Like, you guys had an opportunity here, and it's a good opportunity you're probably going to have in a while. You got a fucking Heisman candidate quarterback, and, you know, Alabama's probably as down as you're going to find them. By the end of the fourth quarter, the score wasn't that competitive.
Let's move along to next week, Colin. Alabama is now number 8 in the country. We'll be taking on Kentucky on the road. Alabama's a 10.5-point favorite against the Wildcats. I would hate to be in Kentucky's shoes right now. I feel like they don't need to be playing Alabama at this point, and yet that's who they're staring down the barrel of.
I like that line. I'll be like, yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be two touchdowns.
Yeah, I can see that. Alrighty. It's also a 48.5 point over-under. I think they could easily go over that, too. Vanderbilt will be on the road to South Carolina. South Carolina has looked very bad, and Vanderbilt is even worse. South Carolina is a 13.5 point favorite at home. By God, they had better cover. You know what I mean? Like, this is a bad Vanderbilt team. You better fucking cover. You better win by two touchdowns. That bad Auburn team we mentioned earlier is now facing these bad Arkansas Razorbacks. They're Auburn's 5-4, Arkansas's 3-6. They are at home. Arkansas's favored by a field goal in this one. I don't know. After Arkansas pulled off the win against Florida, I would hate to bet this game. They're just two wild card bad teams who can spook you once in a while. So I would not touch this one gambling wise.
Nor would I.
Oh, and then Ole Miss, now number 9 in the country and 8-1 in the conference. They are going to be facing their biggest challenge to date, even after their loss to Alabama. Number 2, Georgia, now 9-0, will be hosting Ole Miss. Ole Miss has basically the exact same opportunity that Missouri did last week. If they can win this game, it will be a defining game for their season and a huge win for the program. And if they lose, they'll just sort of be considered a good team, but not good enough to beat the best, just like Missouri.
I don't have much confidence that Ole Miss will be competitive in this game. Ole Miss has got a Mizzou-esque offense, but they do not have Mizzou's defense. I don't expect them to keep it close, honestly.
Georgia's favored by 10.5 at home in this one, and I can see it. It seems realistic. Florida, coming off their loss to Arkansas, will be facing LSU in Death Valley. So that's a loser proposition for the Gators. They are 14-point underdogs in this one. And, God, I can see LSU easily beating Florida by two touchdowns. I'd love to see it, as a matter of fact. And then that takes us to Mississippi State going to Texas A&M. This is another sort of laugher. A&M is favored by 18.5 over the lowly Mississippi State Bulldogs.
This feels like one of those games that if Mississippi State wins it, I won't be shocked. You know what I mean? Like, there's A&M thinks they're going to sleepwalk through this game. They just took one on the chin from Ole Miss. And I don't know. I feel like it's one of those things where they've that last loss, it's sort of like, this season's kind of over. You know, we're not really going to be competitive in the West. Nothing would make me happier than if they lost to Mississippi State.
And then the final game on the docket, the 2:30 game on CBS, the Tennessee Volunteers coming in number 13 in the country to Columbia, Missouri to face the number 14 Missouri Tigers. Tennessee favored by 1 point in this matchup. The line has bounced around. I think it opened up. Missouri was favored by 0.5 point, going up Tennessee to 1.5. And now it's settled down. Missouri is the 1 point underdog. I like Missouri to win this game. I just really do.
I don't understand the line, honestly. You know, maybe I'm biased because I'm a Mizzou fan, but it's like, I just feel like our defense is going to give them fits. And I feel like our offense can score. I think Mizzou wins this game by 10 or should. Maybe I'm way off. And like I said, I'm probably an idiot. I mean, like I said, Heupel has not just beat us, he's owned us. And so I don't know why I'm so optimistic. I just, even in a loss to Georgia, I'm like, my football team looks pretty goddamn good.
I hope, certainly, that if Missouri is in that position where they are winning, say in the fourth quarter, Drinkwitz does not take his foot off the gas on this team. You know, if we're driving and we're winning comfortably in the fourth quarter, that we do not put any subs in. We do not keep put the second team in. We do not run the ball and run the clock out. We fucking go for Tennessee's throat and we rip it out and then we shit down their neck hole. That is my wish for this team. All right, that'll do it this week for Around the Horn. All right, Colin, let's move it along to Kansas news.
Well, I always heard there were three kinds of suns in Kansas. Sunshine. Sunflowers, sons of bitches.
This is Kansas News.
First story of the day, Kansas ranked number 3 for worst drivers in the nation. The Sunflower State is known for wheat production, being home to the former U.S. President Dwight Eisenhower, and of course, references to Wizard of Oz. It also might be known for its poor drivers. I've known this for years, Colin. All you have to do is see the Kansas plates swerving in and out of traffic everywhere you go, and you know this is true. Forbes Advisor ranked Kansas as the 3rd worst state for drivers, citing the following. Kansas has the 2nd highest number of fatal car accidents involving a distracted driver. The state has the 3rd highest number of fatal car accidents involving a driver who disobeyed traffic signs. And Kansas is the 4th worst state in fatal car accidents involving a drowsy driver, and 5th for fatal car accidents involving a driver who was driving the wrong way or on a one-way street. Kansas was beaten out by Texas and Louisiana, but they are one of the worst places to drive. I assume because people are so frantically driving to get out of the state is a big part of why.
Well, I noticed they said like distracted driving. I'm sure people are like watching movies while they drive through this the hellscape that is that town. It's so boring.
Sure.
Plus, I feel like most of them. I mean, it's hard to transition from horse and carriage to, you know, internal combustion engine car, which I feel like is a transition that Kansans have to make at some point in life.
Yeah. It's a challenge.
Plus, they're just stupid, stupid people, Brennan.
They're the worst people, Colin, and I hate them so. Anyway, yeah. So congratulations for being one of the worst places to drive as well as one of the worst places to live and just all around just the worst people. All righty. Next story. Kansas coach Bill Self signs richest college basketball contract ever, given by a public university. Bill Self has signed a new contract for $53 million over the next 5 years.
Yep, don't let that Kansas legislature tell you they can't afford shit.
That's right.
When they're willing to pay a man who's been under FBI investigation for the past 5 years $53 million.
Yeah. Medicaid for handicapped children. No, thank you. The coffers are empty. But Bill Self, the fucking wildly corrupt criminal basketball coach, empty the coffers. And this is after the NCAA investigation and all of the fucking just irregularities and terrible things that we've seen come out over the last few years. Kansas says, hey, we like what we're seeing and we'd like to reward you for it.
I know we joke around about Kansas on this show, but I truly do believe Bill Self was a bad person.
Yeah, of course.
He's a reprehensible human being. And I hate that this is that someone I feel like is such an awful person can be rewarded in this way. It truly lets you know that the world is not fair.
$53 million is just for a college football coach, basketball coach.
That's it's insane.
It's,
and like I said, a public university.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, when tuition goes up at Kansas or when there's any sort of pothole, you have to just look at that basketball coach and that dickhead driving around, the smug, pompous, arrogant piece of shit, Kim Jong-bil, and you just want to spit in his face, I think.
Well, I want to do more than that.
Yeah.
I want our domestic terrorist friend on the caller line to get pay him a visit.
Yeah. I mean, we're done with the Georgia referees. I mean, that's bad and it was hard to swallow. But like Bill Self's out there breathing air. And yet, what are you doing? Talking about bombing referees? Wasting our time? You know where Bill Self lives. All right, Colin, let's get to our next story. Kansas Jayhawks, you mentioned, Colin, that they are a competitive football team this year, and sure enough, they're ranked number 21 in the country. They faced a mediocre Iowa State team on the road and pulled off the 28-21 win. Kansas is now 7-2, like our Missouri Tigers, and 4-2 in the Big 12. It's one of their best years they've had in so long, 15 years plus, I would say, 2007, 2008. Golly, it is hard to believe their wizard coach has been capable of what they're doing. Granted, they play terrible Big 12 teams week in and week out, but a lot of teams play terrible Big 12 teams week in
and
week out.
Well, and they've consistently lost all those terrible Big 12 teams for years.
That's right. Yeah, every time. And, you know, they, like Oklahoma, they beat Oklahoma. That was a program defining win for them. And then Oklahoma goes out the following week and loses to Oklahoma State. So it's hard to know what any of it means, but certainly Kansas is competitive in football this year. I think Missouri would kick a fucking mud hole in them, though.
Oh, I wish we could. I wish we could.
Yeah. Remember when they swore up and down that we dodged them in a bowl game? I mean, they love that kind of nonsense talk. I'd love to play Kansas. Please bring them on.
Maybe that's the bowl we'll play in.
Yeah, I'd take it. I would absolutely take it.
No doubt.
All right, this has been Kansas News. Okay, so let's move along to our award segment, Colin. TJ Moe,
Dude of the Week.
Who is going to win the award this week?
Brennan, I would recommend a collective douche of the week and Michigan apologists.
Yeah.
And I saw like Rich Eisen going down that road a little bit, you know, and of course he is in the bag for Michigan because that's where he graduated from. But it's like there's so many people just like sort of like playing this off like it's not a big deal and like, oh, it's, you know, we're over, you know, it's a bit overblown. I'm like, no, it's not. Like they literally had a spy on other people's sidelines. It's ridiculous. And you can just tell that Michigan's a blue blood because everybody's already to forgive them. They're ready to treat them like Bill Self in Kansas gets treated by the FBI and the NCAA.
That's right. There's different rules for you. So fuck off. Yeah. I also, Colin, the Michigan administration, who they fired this staffer named Connor Stallions, who is clearly the scapegoat for the program and was marched out there.
Yeah, I'm sure the coaches knew nothing about this.
Yeah, well, that's what he was marched out there to say. I did it all. Coach Harbaugh was not aware of any of it, I always feel like is sort of damning when they're like, hey, don't be mad at this guy for doing terrible things. He has no idea what's going on in his program. Like, is that better? That's better? That's
well, and it's such an abject lie, and you know that everybody doesn't want to punish them because, you know, if the university president or the NCAA or any of these people had any fucking integrity whatsoever, they're like, oh, yeah, right. You didn't know anything about it. Fuck you. You're fired.
Yeah.
Which is fine. The worst part about this for Michigan is like Michigan will pay the consequences of this scandal, and then Harbaugh will just go get a job in the NFL.
Yeah. No, there's the bad guys win when it comes to college sports. That's just the way it works.
Yep. And but yeah, it's this collective. It's not such a big deal. Everybody should just cut Michigan some slack. I honestly can't believe how much I've heard of that.
Yeah.
From talking heads, I'm just like, you got to be kidding. Are you for real? Like, if Rutgers did this, you guys be ready to like drive over them with a dump truck.
So we're going to give the award to Michigan apologist.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's just do it. Everybody out there who's made excuses for the terrible fucking Michigan Wolverines and their cheating program, you are the TJ Moe douche of the week.
Douche of the week.
Okay, Colin, it's always a little bittersweet to name a Kirk Farmer's Hair Player of the Game winner in a loss, but who's it going to be?
Now it's time for Kirk Farmer's Hair Player of the Game.
Huh, who is it going to be?
I would throw out Cody Schrader.
He had a good game.
Good game, and as he tends to do, gets big runs, and he was up against it. I mean, this was a tough Georgia line, and the running game wasn't working early, but they kept pounding, and he kept doing well. Luther Burden, I'll say this about Luther Burden. The guy obviously is a world-class talent on the football field, but he takes a fucking pounding week in and week out. And there was a scary moment where he went down, and it looked like he might be in real trouble injury-wise, and he bounced back. I just feel like, I don't know, my hat goes off to the way Luther Burden plays fucking football and isn't afraid to fucking throw his body out there, and he takes a goddamn pounding. He was taking a pounding against, like, South Dakota possible Bearcats early on. You know what I mean? Like, he just plays hard. But all in all, I think maybe Cody Schrader's our guy. I don't know, Colin, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I it's hard to think of anybody who was more consistent in that game than Cody Schrader. Obviously, Luther Burden had a big catch, and he had that 2-point conversion too, which I don't think that was a great play.
Yeah,
for Brady Cook as well. But yeah, I think I'm comfortable with Schrader. I feel like somebody on the defense should get the mention, but you know, that's the nature of the beast. You play defense, the offense gets all the accolades.
Well, I'll say this. Theo Weiss had 5 catches for 90 yards. He had a good game. Defensively, there were some big plays. And, you know, we've kind of been asking ourselves where Tyron Hopper's been all year. I feel like he really had a good game defensively. I know he had a sack and 10 total tackles, 7 solo tackles. He was all over the field, and mm-hmm. we did get to the quarterback quite a bit. There were 3 sacks on the day. Like I said, Hopper had one. Darius Robinson had one, and Niles.
Well, on the front end of our defense, just it had a good game.
Yeah, yeah.
In general, the back end not so much. I mean, I know Norwood just got
eaten
that
up.
84. Yeah. That white boy absolutely roasting his ass. But yeah, I don't know. I'm good with Schrader.
All right, Cody Schrader, you've done it. You are the Kirk Farmer's Hair Player of the Game. Okay, Colin. Tennessee's ahead of us. It's a big game. It's always a big game when we're going up against Tennessee. I'm glad it's at home. It's going to be good to come back. It's a sellout again. Thank you to the Kansas State fans for continually buying tickets. You know, this
yep.
early on, they were patting themselves on the back for selling out Missouri Stadium. And the only reason Missouri can sell out their stadium is because Kansas State fans are so rabid. All we've done since then is sell out our fucking stadium. So just another little fuck you to Kansas State yep. for that. But it should be a great environment for football. And hopefully, like you said, Brady Cook can be the Brady Cook we've seen for most of this year without the just soul-crushing interceptions that have plagued him in big games.
Fingers crossed.
Wow. So I'm really excited about it. I'm really optimistic for this team in a way that I haven't been, and I certainly didn't start the season. So I hope that they can get the win. They really deserve it. And then – Colin, we kind of threw out there the recruiting news a little bit, but one thing we haven't talked about at all is that basketball season has gotten underway, and Dennis Gates' new squad is victors over Arkansas Pine Bluff last night.
Possible Bearcats.
That's right, the Arkansas Pine Bluff, possible Bearcats. It's hard to know what to take from an early season game like this from a lesser talented team, but... if this group of guys can gel the way the team that Dennis Gates assembled last year did, we should expect big things again. And I'm excited that yeah. expectations are pretty low for our Tigers. So I always think everybody, we play better that way.
Yeah, everybody looked good last night, more or less. East, I thought, looked really good. And I want East to win the starting job because I just feel like nothing against Nick Honor, but East is a faster, longer athlete, and I just like if we can get him on the floor. Like I said, I want him to win that job. Of course, Honor and Easter on the floor a lot together anyway. Oh, what's the new kid that played well last night? I'm thinking what's his damn name? Bates, I think. He played really well. Noah Carter looked good. They look good. And then, like I said, against the Pine Bluff possible Bearcats, it's hard to know, but it started out nice. I know several guys didn't get any minutes for numerous reasons. I think our giant transfer from Oral Roberts has to sit out like 3 games for playing in some game, like some show off game for NBA scouts or something. I can't remember what the exact
thing
was.
Some dumb and fucking NCAA.
Yeah. Rule. Something that they would ignore if Kansas did.
Right.
But anyway, it looks good. And I think optimism is rightly sky high.
Yeah. Looking forward to it, and it's a fun time of year where everything is going at the same time for Mizzou. So here's hoping for more victories from the basketball team as the season gets rolling, and for a big win over Tennessee on the football field. M-I-Z.
Z-O-U.
Horse pussy.
Sometimes it'd be looking like that.